Well, thank you very much, Mr. Spellman, and a very good morning to everyone on the East Coast, and certainly good afternoon to those of you who are in the UK listening in to us today. We're very thrilled to be with you. It is certainly our privilege to have Mr. and Mrs. Bowles here with us, staying with us for a couple of days and be able to visit with them over the weekend. So we appreciate that very much. I wanted to thank Mr. Blackwood for asking for inspiration on the speaking, because we were packing up, getting set to leave to come up to the Evans home, and I forgot my notes. So I started all over again last night. I changed everything. That's fine. But on top of that, what happened was I found I left my dress shoes at home as well. So I'm surprised I even got my suit and tie on today. But some people might attribute that to a senior moment. I'm blaming it on Mrs. Bowles. So that is if she'll let me get away with it. I don't think she will. Well, it's great to be here with you, and certainly we do appreciate very much the opportunity to have a chance to speak with everyone today. It's been a while since I have given a sermonette, so I appreciate Mr. Bowles entrusting me with that responsibility. You know, brethren, I changed my mind last night about what I wanted to speak about, because a couple of thoughts came through my mind last night, and I think it's appropriate to the days in which we're living and the state of the church and our great and grave responsibility. And I was just thinking about the devices that Satan has used over the years, the significant ones, to go after the church and to go after you and me. And Satan has so cleverly used this one device I want to talk about for generations, and more so today. And what I'm talking about, brethren, is false deceptive doctrine, visited and foisted on the membership and disguised as new truth, disguised as new understanding. It's the age of enlightenment. Mr. Armstrong's gone. We've got new ways of looking at things. And you hear this kind of subtle deceptive message all the time. And this deceptive practice is dispensed through the false ministry. Let's call it what it is. You know, let's look at a few scriptures here and see what God says about the false ministry. Let's turn to Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 8. Look at a couple of scriptures which I know we're all familiar with, but let's look at them again. Jeremiah chapter 8, and beginning in verse 8. He says, "How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and shaken." Well, they're not ashamed right now, but they're going to be. "Behold, they rejected the word of the Lord." It's been rejected because they've rejected Mr. Armstrong. Notice chapter 9, just over the page in verse 6. He says, "Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me." That's pretty hard-hitting stuff, isn't it? It's so easy for some people to twist the word of God and act righteous. I've seen it over and over the years, and so have you. And we hear accounts of it, you know, up to date, like yesterday, today, last week, last month, and dealing with people. We hear it all the time. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 12, just over the page. He says, "Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it?" Yeah, what do we say? Understand what? Well, just in the preceding verses, which I haven't got time to go through, it mentions about what's to come and the condemnation on Israel, on the church, on Judah, on what is to happen to our land and to our nation and to the church in the days to come. And I was thinking about that when it says about who can declare it. It's interesting. What can we declare, brother? What can you and I declare? We can't stand up on a street corner and shout the word of God, try and bring people to think our way. That doesn't work. We all know that. But we can support the work that is being done, where the speaking and the preaching and the direction and the declaring of the truth is being done. We can support that. That's what we can do. But there's something else. There's also what I call a very grave personal responsibility that you and I have. If we believe the words are from God, talks here about declaring the word, if we really believe that, then, brethren, there's something that you and I can do. And you and me, brethren, we can declare the Word of God by how we live. We can declare the Word of God by how we obey Him. And we can declare the Word of God by how we treat each other as well. Very much so. And God wants us to be in a state or condition of ongoing repentance. We have to be in that state, in that condition, and getting our lives truly on the right track. Notice verse 13. He says, "And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and they've not obeyed my voice, not walked according to it, then all these things are going to happen." You want to read that for yourself. Brethren, many people have forsaken God's law. Many. Not just a few, many. You can't forsake God's law unless you once had it, can you? God's law was set before us by Mr. Armstrong. It says here, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. Who set it before you and me? My brilliance set God's law before me? Not a chance. I don't have any brilliance. As most of you that know me know. No, God's law was set before us by Mr. Armstrong. And God is now preparing the first fruits to be teachers over a vast multitude of people in the days to come. And brethren, we have to be preparing ourselves. I know we hear this over and over, but it's so true. And it's dawning on me gradually how much I need to prepare myself. And we have to be able to teach the truth of God, brethren. We have to be able to teach it. The truth of God, the way of God. We have to show the love of God. And if we have not lived the truth of God, brethren, how can we teach it? We can't. Mr. Armstrong is going to be absolutely wonderful, outstanding priest and teacher, isn't he, in the millennium? Just think about him and his position and what he'll be involved in. Because he lived and he practiced and he believed the way of Almighty God with every fiber of his being. You read through the biography, read through his writings, and it just jumps out at you. And I dearly want to have that kind of life, that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of thrust, that kind of drive, that kind of initiative. And so do you. If we don't, why are we here? Now, here's the question for you and me. What kind of a teacher are you going to be? What kind of a teacher will you be? You see, brethren, God will not tolerate half-hearted, ho-hum teachers. He will not. Half-hearted and ho-hum will not be given a teaching position, and that is a reality. You can take that to the bank. It won't happen. There is an overabundance, frankly, of half-hearted and ho-hum people to choose from within the greater churches of God. The time in the history of the church, brethren, it's condition red right now. It's critical. It's not a cautionary. It's not on yellow or orange. It's on red. You know, brethren, just keeping the Sabbath and the holy days is not a free ticket into the family of God. I think we all understand that. There's much more to it than that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Interesting scriptures. You know, we've read these time and time and time again. And you know them well. Perhaps a lot better than I do. Matthew 7, verse 13. I want to read it to you from the International Standard Version. It says in verse 13, "Go in through the narrow gate, for the way is wide and the road is spacious that leads to destruction, and many people are entering by it." In other words, there's lots of space. Lots of space to accommodate lots of people, right? I like the way it puts it here in verse 14 in this version. It says, "How narrow is the gate, and how constricted is the road that leads to life, and few are the people who find it." Few. Very few. That's a very sobering message for me. I've been around the Church of God for 33, 34 years. You'd think I would know better. You'd think I would completely understand that. Well, it's having more impact as each day goes by, quite frankly. The road is narrow, and it's a tight squeeze, brethren. But there aren't too many people around, so we can make it through. That's what it's saying. You know, there's going to be a tremendous demand for loyal, faithful, and trained shepherds during the millennium. Tremendous demand. And God needs teachers there to help him do this job, to work with Christ. a vast multitude will be eager to be taught the way of God after what they've come out of. Once they understand a little bit about what's going on, they'll be eager. I want to know about this way of life. And you've lived it. You've been through it. You understand. And now you can teach it. But brethren, now is the time to prepare. That's why I say it's condition red. Because you see, half-hearted ho-hum will not be assigned so great a task. God will not entrust you or me with that job. God wants His truth to be taught. The teaching that God taught Mr. Armstrong. And that Mr. Armstrong has taught to the church. And He's still teaching. I'm still learning. Mr. Armstrong is still teaching me. You know, listening to the tapes, reading his articles, going through the study programs, going through all of his autobiography, everything. I'm being taught. I've taken some of the things in his autobiography and applied it to work. That's no revelation. That's what we should do. There's things we can learn all the time. I'm being taught continually by him and others. But brethren, are we ready to feed God's people the truth? Are we? If we are not ready, if we reject what Mr. Armstrong taught, we won't be ready. And we will be rejected. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. You know, brethren, the ministry and the leadership must teach and preach and live the truth. But notice what God says that he has found in his house, what he's found in his church. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 11. Notice what he says here. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house, in my church, I have found their wickedness. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery ways, in verse 12. In the darkness they shall be driven off and fall, and I'll bring disaster on them. What a condemnation to shifting away from the foundation that they were given. All those men that went through ambassador calling and should know better. And I'm not just pounding on them individually. This is just the overall picture. We know it's there. It's reality. Far too many leaders have abdicated their responsibility. You cannot abdicate your Christian responsibility, the purpose for which you were called. God's got a plan for you. He wants you to fulfill that plan. I know one pastor who carries a handgun. Please. Where does that come from? Even carries it to church on occasion. That is a form of false doctrine. Because other people pick up on the message. Maybe we should be doing the same thing. And some are considering it or doing it. Where's the faith? You're pulling the rug of faith right out from under people. When people get involved in this group mentality syndrome, as I call it. There's one particular leading man, or I guess you could say that, who said that Mr. Armstrong only made protocol visits to world leaders. He really didn't do it, brethren. He really didn't go that far. He just made the odd visit here and there. How are you doing? And have a cup of coffee. I get so upset when I hear that. Really? Is that all it was? What about all those wonderful photographs I've got showing Mr. Armstrong standing before the Japanese Diet? You know, and shaking hands and receiving honors. And his Japanese son's visiting with him back in the United States. And speaking before thousands of people in the Philippines. I've got the tape, folks. I've heard it. It's real. I'm being honored. And invited to speak before Chairman Deng Xiaoping in the People's Republic of China. You know, brethren, people don't just... You don't make protocol visits as a member of a religious organization to the People's Republic of China. It doesn't happen. They've got better things to do. Oh, Mr. Armstrong's in town. Oh, come on. Tell him to come on over. We'll have some chow mein and a coffee. Doesn't work like that. God wanted him to make those visits, and he made those visits. And he talked about a way of life. He talked about the two trees. He talked about give and get. Things they could understand and relate to. Protocol visits? Outstanding what he accomplished, what God did through him. And you know something, brethren? These leaders now, with all this false and deceptive doctrine, are leading people further and further and further away from the truth and further away from God. Many of today's church leaders are standing on very shaky ground. What about us? Are we standing on shaky ground? Are we aligned solidly behind the law and the way of God that Mr. Armstrong taught and lived? Philippians chapter 2. I know I've gone over my quota of scriptures, but I just had to do this. I trust that Mr. Bold will be gentle with me. Philippians chapter 2. Brother, you know this verse. Verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Brethren, it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. That's what that scripture means to me. It is not in you and me. We don't produce anything. It's God that does it. So aligning yourself with Mr. Armstrong's teaching is aligning yourself with Almighty God. Because that was and is our example. And many years ago, Mr. Armstrong used to thunder out over the airways when he came back from his heart attack. He said, I've got to get this church back on track. And he knew it had to be done. He knew the state of the ministry. He knew it was happening to the people as well. It filters down from the top. He said, we've got to get things back on track and organized. And we're going to do it. What do you think? How far away from that statement have we slipped today? Oh, a long way. He'd be shocked. So, brethren, we have a great responsibility. Today, the church really needs to get back on track. And individually, so do you and me. Brethren, we have a job to do. Submitting to the will of God so completely and deeply as Mr. Armstrong did. So that God can produce in us the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. And then only, we can become effective and useful and productive teachers caring for people in the millennium.